Let us pray. Lord, forgive us for the way in which we enter into your presence over and over as if this is tradition, not recognizing the break that you have brought to our daily life, our moment-by-moment living, and to the history of the world. Bring us to a place, Lord Jesus Christ, where we embrace the power of resurrection. Strengthen us, Lord, in your love, to be able to see that you are at work, no matter where we are, no matter what it is that is happening to us, that this is your world, and that we can see that through the events of this day that are lived out in our own lives, day by day, moment by moment, ordinary resurrection by ordinary resurrection. Be with all, O Lord, who need your love and your healing touch this day. Be with Eric Strom and his family and Tom and Charlotte who are with them. Be with Harrison and Mac. Continue to be with Linda Matthews. Be with Skylar and Tim McGee and their family. Give Skylar the fortitude to wait and strengthen the little one who you are still knitting together in her. Be with Jimmy as Jimmy and John are together again. We give you thanks, Lord, that she is whole, healed, and risen in you this day. Bless Scott to be able to see and know that. Strengthen him, Lord, in his own grieving process through this time, and bless and keep him and his family in your grace and your peace. And especially, Lord, we pray that you would be with Marcy Barnes and with all, Lord, for whom a voice is heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She cannot be consoled, for they are no more. Thank you for Damien's life. Thank you, Lord, that you hold him. Hold Marcy. Help her, Lord, this day to know your presence. And in the midst of a world that has fallen apart, to know that all things come back together again in you, somehow, some way. Thank you, Lord, for new life, for breathing into Gabriel the breath of life this day and making him a living being, for the blessing of death and resurrection that has come to Jessica and to Josh as one life ends this day, and a new life begins, as they are now father and mother. Bless them, Lord, in all the great thunderclaps and earthquakes that transformation brings. Bless them, Lord, when they are at sea on what they thought was dry land. Bless them when Gabriel is crying at 2 a.m. and nothing will console him. Bless them, Lord, to see that your hand is at work, just as your hand is at work in us, in each of us, in this congregation, in this neighborhood, in this divided city, in this divided country, in this divided world. Bless us, Lord, to be instruments of your reconciling power, the power of love that does not come because of deserving, but love that is given out of sovereign will, the love we have received, the love you call us to live, that will transform this world into the world we pray for. Our Father, who art in heaven,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
This Easter Sunday, we read the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, which, if you know the Gospel of Mark, you have to wonder what that means, because there are at least three different versions of what that means. The earliest transcripts or manuscripts of the Gospel end at verse 8. It appears that other endings were added on, one a shorter one a longer one. But unless one believes that either Mark was hurried when he ended the Gospel and he just stopped in mid-sentence or stopped in mid-thought, or perhaps folio was lost. The only problem with that one is it was probably written on a scroll, not on pieces of paper, so losing the last page doesn't really make sense either. It appears that this is the way the Gospel ends. Listen to the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had just been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out, and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This last Friday is an occurrence that will not happen again till we are all safely long gone past this mortal veil. It happened only three times in the 20th century. It happens only twice in this century, and both of them now have gone by. It's the day that Good Friday and Annunciation Day are the same day. The day that Gabriel comes and says to Mary, "You will have a child. You're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. The child will be Jesus. He will save the world from its sins." And the day Jesus dies. And if they weren't the same day in Mary's eyes, they might have been the same day. Because there is nothing else to think of when looking at the cross. Everything that happens in that week makes sense. We understand all of it. Some of us in this room know too much of it. Marcy certainly knows too much of it today. It all makes sense. But what happens today makes no sense. It's why every preacher fears Easter Sunday sermons, because there's always somebody who walks in the room basically saying, "Convince me.
make all of this make sense to me. And what happens does not make sense. It doesn't fit in the pattern of what you and I understand the world to be. It doesn't make any sense inside the reality of the way we live our everyday life. Jesus Christ's resurrection is a break. It is a break in every fundamental sense of that word. It's a break in reality. It is a break in understanding. It is a break in narrative. It is a break in history. And the problem for every one of us is to believe it, you have to break. The women get together, Mark says, and they have all their spices together. They have all their things together. Who here leaves the house with a list of six things with five of them with you? Yeah, nobody else out there. Well, thank you, dear. Thank you for not making me feel alone. Yeah. And you turn around 2 miles out because you forgot something. Well, they're walking down, they've got the spices, and they go and they say, how are we going to get the stone away from the tomb? What are we going to do? And they walk up thinking that they haven't quite figured out exactly how this process is going to work, but they understand what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They are there to be able to anoint Jesus' body, to be able to do the funeral rituals that they know are due him, to grieve for him at his tomb. They walk up, and they realize they don't have a problem that they thought they had. The stone's rolled away from the tomb. They have a different problem now. Somebody has desecrated the tomb. Somebody has done something to Jesus. Still makes sense. They look in to try and see what the damage is. Anybody whose house has ever been broken into or had a car broken into, the first thing you do is you examine everything, right? You try and figure out what's missing, what's there, what's not there, how is it? They walk in to be able to examine the crime scene, and there's a man sitting there in white. The scripture says they're alarmed. Well, wouldn't you be? How many people know somebody who takes up residence in an open tomb? Who is this guy? Why is he there? Do not be alarmed, he says. Pretty hard. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. He's raised. You're looking in the wrong place. See, he was lying right there. You see, that's where he was. So now, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter's connection to the disciples seems a little tenuous after three denials. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go back to Galilee. I'll meet you where I told you I'd be. Do what I told you to do. And the women can make no sense of what's happening. It's such a total break from reality that they walk away from the tomb and they tell nobody anything. The average person in the average pew in the average church in the United States witnesses to zero people in their life. We come to see resurrection, but we don't want change. We want to be able to see resurrection, to believe in resurrection, and think that it tells us we can stay where we are. But what has just happened to these women is they have walked through a portal into a different reality. Something has happened now that does not happen in the reality they accept as reality. the man in white acts like it's a simple thing. He's not here. He's raised. He's gone. He's up. He's moving. He's not going to sit in this tomb. But we would be so much happier if the risen Jesus just sat there. And we could walk into the tomb and we could walk by and say, doesn't he look natural? It looks like he's sleeping. Because that makes sense. That we understand. Resurrection, we don't understand. To walk into resurrection, you have to be raised. Paul says in his second letter to the church at Corinth, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's important to be able to see and understand what he's saying there. What he's saying is, you're going to walk into Jesus. You're going to walk with Jesus in a relationship with him. You are never going to be the same. And it doesn't say, if anyone is in Christ, they may be a new creation. The old might pass away. Behold, the new will come eventually. The verbs are all past and they're perfect. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. That means you are new. You are not you anymore. The old has passed away. It is past perfect tense. It's done. The new has come. That means for every one of us, resurrection is not something you believe. Resurrection is something you experience. Resurrection is the break in time, the break in life. The difference between life and death. And that time and place when the stone is rolled onto the tomb and then somehow rolls away. Resurrection is not believable because somebody will give you 3 points in a poem and make it believable. It is not believable if you have angels on guy wires flying down and you have great music and tinsel and trappings and it all falls down from the ceiling. This is not a spectacular sound and light show. Resurrection is not cornflakes or soap. It's a reality. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, and I am alive again. And I have no reason to understand why. And I can look around me and I can see people who are dead and dead. And I don't know why either. Why am I alive? Because Christ, in his loving power, chose to raise you. It is that resurrection power that is the key to understanding what it really means to know Jesus. Too many of us want to walk inside a modern worldview where we live in a world that says the only things that exist are what I can see, touch, taste, and feel. Those are the only things that are, and everything else is an idea created by my mind, a fiction made by human beings. What resurrection demonstrates is that there is a reality beyond any reality you can touch, taste, see, or feel. There is a reality that exists beyond your own understanding of reality, and that reality breaks so powerfully into the world in resurrection that it calls you and me to enter into it, not just for it to enter into this world. That we trade our identity in this world as a CPA, as an accountant, as a doctor, lawyer, teacher, great guy, whatever it is that you are, mess, scapegoat, problem. To trade whatever identity that is for the identity I am the beloved of the one who has risen from the dead. I am the beloved of the one who said, let there be light. I am loved by the power that made the world. And that the real identity that I hold is not the identity that is mine for 70 years as long as this body holds out. The real identity I have is I am loved. We are, too many of us, brothers and sisters, 1 foot in one boat and 1 foot in the other. We're trying to be able to negotiate life by trying to say we've got a foot in the idea that there is a kingdom and we've got a foot in the world to be able to make sure we stay close to, quote, reality, common sense. Common sense is what silences the voices of the women, and it silences your voice too, and mine. Because what Jesus Christ promises is too good to be true. Life that comes to me as the sinner that I am, life that comes to me in the fact of what I have done and who I have been, love that comes to me and claims me as God's own when my own will not claim me, but that's the power of God. The women receive an invitation to become fully human. To walk out of a world where they understand the customs and the traditions, and to walk into a new and different world where what this man in white says makes perfect sense. And the beauty of living inside that world is now they are not male and female. They are not Jew and Gentile. They are not black and white or Hispanic. They are all one in Christ Jesus. But we cannot live, brothers and sisters, in fear in this world, this dead and dying world, and still say, I believe in resurrection, because our life denies it. What Mark is interested in is not what people say. When Jesus heals, what does Jesus say every single time he heals in the Gospel of Mark? Don't tell anybody about this. Don't talk about it, because this is not a plan. I'm not putting out promotional material. I'm inviting people to move. Resurrection is your invitation to move. It's your invitation to make a break in your life. And the only way you really believe in resurrection is when you make the break. It never ceases to amaze me that Jesus could take a little boy stuck inside a family where he is caring for a severely mentally ill mother, trying to keep her balanced, unable to differentiate himself between her and him. Stuck inside that world, totally isolated from people. And he's made it possible for me to become me. A me that was impossible where I was born. Not because of anything that I did, but because of the circumstances into which I was born. And every single one of those resurrections that stands between me and that little boy, every single one of them was a walking away from a life I understood to a life I did not understand. walking away from a life where I had some comfort and security into a life I really didn't have any of those. The adventure of it was wonderful. The terror of it was awful. But both of those things required me to move. When Ruth was born, and the mountains shook in the heart of the sea, and the earthquakes happened, and all of a sudden, now you are not just simply you. You are not somebody's son. Now you are somebody's father, and you will be that for the rest of your life. And the change is immediate. And there's no going back. You can't say, oops, I made a mistake. I'd rather not try this, because you're there. And every one of them, when they come to us as a break in reality. Resurrection is accepting that what Jesus Christ wants you to do is break with the reality you know and trust in Him. Trust in the voice of the angel that is speaking to you. And an angel, by the way, is nothing more than a messenger. Jesus Christ wants you to rise in newness of life. That is what today is about. It's not about today being the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring solstice. It is not about historical fact in that sense. What it is about is the fact that Jesus Christ rose and that He is risen in His people. The reason the world does not believe in resurrection is not because preachers are not able to preach well enough on one Sunday a year. You made it pretty far, Ray. You did good. She did good. Bless you. And bless Grandma. Amen. The proof of resurrection is raised people. It's not perfect sermons. It's people like Ann Weems, now with the Lord. Wrote a wonderful poem, "When You Hear of My Demise," is what the title of it is. And she says, "When you hear of my demise, do not believe it. I have not disappeared. I am not gone. I have not disintegrated. I went to my Lord singing alleluias. I went into heaven singing, I see you, and I know to whom I go." Just as four women went singing alleluias in an office of the Wycliffe Associates in a part of the Middle East, two of them singing alleluias, being beaten to death by AK-47s to protect the translator underneath them and the work that he was doing. There are people who are laying their lives down for this resurrection power, and we act as if we are consumers. Is it any wonder that there are 20 million Christians in China and churches are closing across America? Do you know the resurrection power of Jesus? Has He raised you? Do you find yourself this day, and I hope and pray if you are raised in Him every day, saying to yourself, how amazing is it that I am alive? How amazing is it that I know love? How amazing is it that I can see you, that I can know you and love you and be connected to you? How amazing is this world? So filled with hate and anger, so filled with people, so stuck inside their own walls, so afraid of the world they live in that they know nothing of it, and they do not hear and know the voice of the one who calls their name. C.S. Lewis, in talking about what the reality of resurrection is, he says, every one of us lives inside a prison. We live inside a cell whose walls we know perfectly. We know who the cellmates are next to us. We know that we are not alone, but they are behind walls beyond us. We hear the voices of other people. But all we really know is the clack on the stone. All we really know is the reality that we are all imprisoned. He said, but if in some quiet night you hear the wind rustle in trees, or someday out of the blue you hear the laugh of a child playing, you know that the world is not simply your little fortress. You know it is not your little walled-in space. There is a reality beyond the reality you know. That is what it means. He is not here. He has been raised. He does not live in tombs. Only the demon-possessed lived in tombs. Come out of your tomb. Rise like Lazarus rose. That resurrection power, brothers and sisters, that is what the world is waiting for. Resurrection is breaking news. It's time to break. If anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. He is a new creation. The old is passed away. The new has come. Jesus Christ is issuing an invitation to you to make a break in your life. Will you believe it? You're going to have to get up and get out of the tomb if you do. Let's pray. Lord, bless us to see and receive the revelation that the world that we know is not all the world there is. And that you, who has loved us from the beginning of time, exist beyond the reality that we know, and you are calling us into a different world, to make a different world, to be instruments of righteousness in a different kingdom. Bless us, Lord Jesus Christ, this day to take our foot off of the boat where our safety is. And bless us with both feet to land solidly on the deck of the great ship of your church, sailing through the history of this world to a new destination. A new kingdom, a new world. Bless us, Lord Jesus Christ, and strengthen us in that resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen.